Welcome to Capital Talk, our weekly legislative analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldin and veteran Capital reporter Chuck Johnson of the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. And Chuck, lawmakers are on their midterm break, but they'll be back in session on Monday, and bills like allowing hunters to wear pink are going to give way to the bigger issues of the budget and infrastructure in this second half.
That's correct, Sally. The budget is always the biggest issue of any session. They are constitutionally bound to pass a balanced budget. The budget right now is not passing with the approval of Governor Steve Bullock, a Democrat. He was highly critical of it at a press conference earlier this week. He's particularly critical, and so are Democratic legislative leaders, of how higher education and health and human services were treated in the budget by the subcommittees. They're saying that if the budget that came out of subcommittee stands for higher education, it could lead to a tuition increase of $1,000 a year for in-state university system students. And I saw a story in the Chronicle today that the governor, speaking to their editorial board there, said, who knows, it could even lead to the closure of one of the campuses of the university system, which is one I had not heard previously.
The state revenue picture, Chuck, is improving. We'll have a new, maybe more accurate forecast later this month. Will that have much impact on the budget that this session has to pass?
It could, Sally. There have been two revenue estimates from the Legislative Fiscal Division using data from a national consulting firm they use, but no one is putting too much stock in those at the moment because they're primarily based on national trends extrapolated to Montana. By the March report later this month, it should include some Montana data such as, you know, income tax filings by people to see how they're doing. So it could. The other part of the budget that's really not up to what Bullock and Democrats want is health and human services, particularly long-term senior care. And that one is far short of what the governor wants. So I think that's a big issue, too.
And still looming, of course, in terms of impact on state budgets is federal repeal of Obamacare. And there are many governors and state legislators watching that with more than a wary eye. Is that true of Montana lawmakers as well, Chuck?
Well, they're watching it. To my knowledge, nothing has been done at the state level. But the president of the Senate, Scott Sales of Bozeman, has said several times he'd like the legislature to finish its work earlier than anticipated so they can save some days to come back later to deal with that issue or any other issues that stem from President Trump's agenda that Congress might pass. And originally he was saying he wanted to get out in 70 days and then leave 20 days for more work. I haven't heard much about that lately. And frankly, they have a lot of work yet to do on the budget here and infrastructure.
A ton of work. And we'll be, of course, watching that throughout the second half of the session. And Rob, this week, Congressman Ryan Zinke was finally confirmed as the new Secretary of the Interior. And Governor Bullock has set May 25th as the day his successor in Congress will be chosen. Democrats are picking their nominee this week and Republicans on Monday, and there are a lot of contenders in both major parties and some Libertarian candidates to boot.
There sure are a very long list of candidates, although it's also true that there are some clear frontrunners. On the Republican side, that's Greg Gianforte, who ran against Governor Bullock for that position last fall. And on the Democratic side, Amanda Curtis, state legislator from Butte, and her party's candidate for the U.S. Senate campaign a few years ago, and Rob Quist, who is a musician of Mission Mountain wood band fame. And I'd call them kind of co-frontrunners on the Democratic side.
Even though Greg Gianforte says he has a Republican nomination sewn up, State Senator Ed Buttrey, another candidate from Great Falls, says not so fast.
I absolutely don't think that he's got those electors locked up at this point. I think he did at the very beginning of the process, but he doesn't anymore.
Maybe, Rob, there will be some suspense at the Republican meeting?
Well, we'll know soon enough. You know, Gianforte for weeks has been saying that it's a done deal, that he's got it all locked up. And until this week, in that interview Eric Whitney did with Buttrey, nobody has pushed back on that. This is the first time we've seen somebody challenge that assertion. It'll be interesting to see whether there's actually anything there, because Gianforte is still totally maintaining that it's a done deal and that this thing is going to be a coronation. But I've long thought that if there was to be an alternative to Gianforte, that Buttrey would be the natural person to fill that role, because there are a lot of contrasts between the two. Gianforte, of course, is a political outsider with no experience in public office. He touts his success as an entrepreneur and says it would be good to have a non-politician fill that role. He's also, in my view, more ideological, with strong connections to the libertarian and socially conservative wings of the Republican Party. Buttrey, on the other hand, is, I would say, a little bit more in the mold of Ryan Zinke. He has experience in the legislature. His record indicates that his approach to governing is what supporters would probably call more pragmatic, but maybe what critics would call less principled than someone like Gianforte. But in any event, there are some real contrasts at work here. And while I think we'd have to still clearly call Gianforte the front runner for the nomination, it will be interested to see if Buttrey emerges out of this crowded field as the anti-Gianforte alternative for Republican delegates to consider.
Gianforte is so confident he's going to get the Republican nomination, he already has a TV ad airing, and here's an excerpt.
The special interests can't buy me. I'll stand up to the DC establishment and drain the swamp. I'm Greg Gianforte, and I prove this message because I'm on Montana's side.
I think he stole that message, Rob, from Donald Trump.
Well, definitely the drain the swamp bit. You know, he talked last fall about not being beholden to special interests. And so that's always been one of his things. But last fall, he ran that campaign basically trying to ignore Donald Trump. And this is a little bit of another distinction between Gianforte and Buttrey. Like his friend Ryan Zinke, Buttrey was an early supporter of Donald Trump. And Gianforte really did try to keep his party's presidential candidate at arm's length. We've seen quite a shift, and of course we see it in that ad. Now he fully embraces Trump, says he wants to go to Washington, D.C. to stick up for the Trump agenda, and has even adopted one of Trump's slogans.
There does seem to be more suspense on the Democratic side, and the party's executive director, Nancy Keenan, thinks whoever is their nominee has a chance to win, and they're rallying supporters to work for, quote, Blue No Matter Who.
The Blue No Matter Who is basically calling all our activists and folks that have been involved since the election, and at that point begin to talk about how we can mobilize people in their local communities. You know, knocking doors, making phone calls, talking to their neighbors.
And I think Keenan and other Democrats, Rob, are hoping for some buyer's remorse about Donald Trump to boost their chances.
Absolutely. I think they kind of smell some blood in the water. Not only that, the reaction against Donald Trump that we've seen nationally as well as here in Montana. Also the fact that they're probably going to be running against Greg Gianforte, someone who they actually just beat a few months ago. And so I think that they do see this as a race where they could pull an enormous upset.
It would be an upset, I think. But Republican Party Chairman Jeff Essman thinks Trump is still popular enough to give their candidate the clear edge.
Well, I think the choice for the voters is going to be pretty clear. Donald Trump was favored in Montana very strongly just a few months ago. I believe those voters will be turning out again to support Trump's agenda.
That might be true now, Rob, but who knows by May?
Well, yeah, May is a long time off in terms of politics. But look, what Essman says is basically correct. I mean, this state voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump, and with the exception of the governor's race, voted overwhelmingly for Republican candidates from top to bottom. And so Republicans have to be considered the big favorite regardless of which nominees come out of these conventions.
Chuck, Montana's Attorney General Tim Fox was in D.C. this week attending Donald Trump's address to Congress as a guest of Senator Steve Daines, and then showing up at Ryan Zinke's swearing-in ceremony. What are we to make of all that?
Hard to say, Sally. Fox is the state's senior elected Republican, and he has ambitions, too. It's always been thought he was gearing up to run for governor in 2020 after Governor Bullock's term has expired, but I don't know exactly what his plans are. He is, you know, the Republican who shows up at things in Montana, and we'll have to see where that goes.
And he's popular, Rob.
He is. He has a very good reputation. He certainly has strong conservative credentials, but he does have surprisingly some popularity that extends beyond just conservatives and kind of in a way that other Republicans in this state sometimes struggle to get. So he would be a formidable candidate if he decided to get in. And I think one of the things about that governor's election in a few years, there's just a great deal of uncertainty around that. There's a lot of thinking that Greg Gianforte, even if he goes back to Congress, will come back home to try to run for governor again. And so for Fox, this election against Tester for the Senate, that could look quite appealing. And I think a lot of Democrats see him as maybe the most likely challenger to Tester and probably the most formidable one.
As we've mentioned before, there are already some anti-Tester ads on the air as well by some national groups who want to see a Republican take that seat.
Oh, right. Yeah. Republicans see this as one of their best chances to take a seat currently held by Democrats. And Tester, for his part, is clearly in campaign mode, too. They have really ramped up their press releases, emails asking for money. Tester has introduced a whole bunch of legislation in recent days. So everybody's in campaign mode, for sure.
Back in Helena, Chuck, the second half of legislative sessions have historically been the most contentious. And this session has been not all that contentious so far, but probably going to run true to form, do you think?
I think it will on budget and infrastructure, for sure. So far on infrastructure, there is no real alternative plan to Governor Bullock's, but Republicans are working on one, and it will come before the Appropriations Committee, I believe, the following week. And they're expected to divide some of his bills into multiple bills. And, you know, the whole issue of whether they bond is still an issue. The Speaker of the House, Austin Knutson, and the Appropriations Chair, Nancy Balance, both said they weren't sure of the need to bond. And the governor wants to bond to build some buildings and put some of the money in other places. So that'll be a big issue. But remember, the governor always gets the final say, and he can do line item vetoes. He can veto bills. So even though Republicans control both houses, Bullock has an enormous amount of power in shaping what finally passes or doesn't.
Well, this is the time of the session where it's important to eat right and get lots of sleep. You've been listening to Capital Talk, our weekly legislative analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I've been speaking with veteran Capital reporter Chuck Johnson of the Bozeman Daily Chronicle and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Sally.
Thank you.